Well, our proverb this morning is Proverbs 11:13, and hope you wore hard-toed shoes this morning, because usually when this proverb is taught, people get their toes stepped on. All of us have mouths, and our mouths tend to get us into trouble. But this is about a talebearer, and there's a few comments before we get into that on talebearing. And this is what Charles Spurgeon said about this: if you want the truth to go around the world, you must hire an express train to pull it. But if you want a lie to go around the world, it will fly. It is as light as a feather, and a breath will carry it. It is well said in the old proverb, a lie will go around the world while truth is putting its boots on. It has a momentum of itself, does it not? And Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. I have destroyed as many relationships with the same weapon. God has given us two ears, but one tongue, to show that we should be swift to hear, but slow to speak. God has set a double fence before the tongue, the teeth and the lips. You know, words have to get by the teeth, and they have to push their way through the lips. God's done that for a purpose, has he not? To show us that be careful of what you allow to come out. But we're to teach, they're to teach us to be wary that we offend not with our tongue. And then lastly, notice we never pray for folks we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray, for prayer is a great deterrent. Now, Proverbs 11:13 says this: a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So we have one that tells tales and one that concealeth the matter. As we normally do in the study of Proverbs, we have a contrast between this and that. Now, I worked for the United States government for 25 years, both in the military and as a civilian. And in both capacities, my job required me to have a security clearance. Some of you who have been in the government service perhaps have had to have a security clearance. As a Navy officer, a top secret clearance was required for me because I served at the Atlantic Fleet Headquarters in Virginia, and my duties were involved with war plans. Now, they weren't CIA-type war plans or that kind of a thing, but they had to do with advanced bases, of how bases would be constructed during the war. And as a civilian, I had lesser important duties as far as security was concerned, and I was required to have a secret clearance, top secret as an officer, and a secret clearance was required of me as a civilian. Now, I've been out of the government service for a very long time. So today I know nothing of value, and if anyone is listening on the internet, I am not worthy of kidnapping for giving you military and secrets of the government. So please back off and don't come after me. But in order to receive these clearances, I had to be judged trustworthy of knowing military secrets and not revealing them to unauthorized persons. I remember as an ensign coming into the military, hearing from my relatives and my friends and neighbors, co-workers, supervisors that the FBI was looking into my background. Here I was, a 23-year-old officer for the first time, but they were looking into my background to judge my trustworthiness. Was I trustworthy to know things that others shouldn't know? Now, in government service, for those who hold clearances, the rule is that you are to know secrets that you need to know in the performance of your work. Now, notice that word, need to know. Do you have a need to know in order to perform your work? Not every secret of the U.S. government is sent to every clearance holder. That's the way it works. Unless you had a need to know a particular secret in order to perform your job, you are not privy to that secret. That's the policy in the United States government. You would not find people that hold a top secret clearance running from desk to desk saying, "Have you heard the latest?" You don't hear that. That's not trustworthy. To go and say, "Have you heard the latest top secret?" Now, you don't do that. You don't do that on email. You don't do that on Twitter. You don't do that on texting. You just don't do that. Your ears are not to be perked up to hear of government secrets being revealed at the next desk. Someone is not to be perking up their ears saying, "What's going on over there? I hear there's top secrets being told." You just don't do that. In other words, there is a need-to-know policy in the government regarding secrets. But unfortunately, there's been breakdowns in recent years. You've heard of the situation called WikiLeaks, where a young man in the Army has failed his country. He took an oath when he came into the Army, I'm sure, and he's failed his country by passing out secrets to unauthorized people, and now there is a worldwide talebearer going from desk to desk asking the question, "Have you heard the latest?" But the government policy of need to know is based upon biblical principles, as we see in our proverb today, which says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." I was required to be of a faithful spirit. I was required to be trustworthy. I was required to hold my right hand up and take an oath. And I was required to honor that oath by not revealing secrets about our military and our government. But the faithful have mouths that are under control, which means those that are not faithful tell secrets to those that do not have a need to know. This is a good policy in the Christian walk. Now, the word talebearer is composed of two words. What words are they? Tail and bearer. Boy, what a participatory group. What is it composed of? Good, good, good. I might get you all together if I keep working at it. But the word bearer means, of course, to walk from place to place while carrying a load. That's what bearer means, carrying a load. I've got a load. And if you've got a load, what do you want to do with it? You want to unload it, do you not? Well, a talebearer carries a tale, but not any tale. It is a secret tale. He or she who bears this tale certainly must believe that this tale is of great value, for much time and much energy is used in its transmission to many people. Must be a valuable tale, must it not? Because there's great energy that takes place in its transmission, in its bearing. So it's of great value. Now, have you heard of the word monger? Monger. Some of you young people, can anybody describe what a monger is? It's not a mongrel, but it's a monger. What's a monger? Anybody know? A what? No, not one who dwells or mingles. relishing, seller. Seller. A monger is a seller. You've heard of a fishmonger? Now, the fishmonger, I'm sure, relishes his fish. It's, okay, colloquial side of it. But a fishmonger is a seller of fish. A cheesemonger. What is a cheesemonger? Seller of cheese. And what is a milkmonger? Now, we had milkmen come to the house when I was a boy. That, you know, young people, we used to have milkmen that would come to the house and put their milk on the porch. Can you imagine such a thing? You know, in the old days, we had some good things. You don't have everything good today. There's been a deterioration of things in the matter of milk. You used to get fresh milk every day from the milkmonger. We didn't call him that. We called him the milkman. There were never any milk women. I've never seen a milk woman. But this was a milkman. Now, they come in the winter, and in those days, we didn't have homogenized milk. Can you imagine that? You didn't have homogenized milk. You had to get your milk and mix it. Homogenized means to mix. You had to mix the milk. Now, in the winter, when they put the milk on the porch in the early morning, they'd come by in the early morning, and you didn't get it right away, the cream would rise to the top, and then it would push out the stopper, and you'd have a piece of cream, a cylinder of cream, sticking out of the top of the milk bottle. We had bottles, glass bottles. And the kids would tiptoe around there, and they weren't supposed to do this, but they'd grab that cream and have ice cream from the top of the milk bottle. Now, what did that do? Well, it diluted the milk to 2%. So everything was okay. Now, in those days, we did not have 2% milk, but the children made it 2%. So they were just doing their duty. Yeah, Dad did it too. But it was a little round piece of paper with a little tab in the top of the milk. You'd pull the tab up and you'd lift it up, and that's why you got your milk. But the milkmonger came by. So monger means a trader or dealer. Now, if you apply this word to a talebearer, you will have a scandal monger. A scandal monger. Now, nobody tells you a scandal without hope of return. Okay? You want to get a return on your efforts. Maybe you have a scandal that you can tell me. Maybe your scandal is worth more than my scandal, so therefore I have a profit in my efforts. So this is a dealer who specializes in scandal. This is a dealer who goes around and says, "Have you heard the latest? Have you heard the latest?" And everybody's ears perk up. "I want to hear the latest." "Don't you want to hear the latest?" "Well, yeah, I want to hear the latest. I don't want that old news. I want to hear the latest." So his product is scandal or the secrets of others, and by spreading this product, he wishes to ingratiate himself to others by providing what is called juicy tidbits. Now, have you ever had juicy fruit gum? Well, this is a gum, but it's a gum of words. It's called juicy tidbits. And boy, are they juicy. You love to spread these juicy tidbits. Now, that word revealeth in this proverb is interesting, for it means to make naked, especially in a disgraceful sense. It means to open up or uncover in shameful detail that which is desired to be kept secret. You know, if you go through the newspaper every day, some of the titles are there to lure you to the article. And the juicier the title, the more luring it takes place. I'm sorry, that's what happened. That's why they do that. They have some words up there that attracts you to that title. But that's what it means. It means to open up or uncover in shameful detail that which is desired to keep secret. Now, talebearing, for the sake of talebearing, is a breach of love, for it is designed to turn one from another. It's a breach of love. You know, Christians are to walk in love, are we not? I mean, the world's not doesn't walk in love. We're supposed to walk in love. And that also includes our relationship to each other and others. For the talebearer makes no effort to satisfy the need of another, but simply delights in knowing what others don't know. Have you ever, you know people like that? They delight in knowing what other people don't know. Have you heard the latest? No, I haven't, but I want to. I want to know. He or she delights in passing it to others of like mind, for talebearing takes two, not only a mouth, but a willing ear. You know, it takes two. A talebearer does not like to talk to that wall. He doesn't go in an empty room and start telling his tales. He's looking for an ear. Wants to talk to your ear. That's the receiver. He cares nothing about his neighbor's name. He cares nothing about his neighbor's honor. And as a door-to-door salesman, he hawks his wares of scandal in order to lift himself up on the back of another. This fella is, this lady's not a good person. He couldn't care less about separating chief friends and is not admonished by God's word, which says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, the Bible doesn't have much to say good about whispering. You teachers see it all the time, whispering in class, whispering, whispering. What are they whispering about? Oh, they're discussing physics problems. Yeah, okay, you live in your dream world. They're not discussing physics problems. They're discussing what Susie has on today. Huh? Or something the boy did to this boy over there. Froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And in Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, words are can be the most painful of things, can they not? You know, you have a back pain, but boy, that pain that is in the belly because of something that has been said about you that's not true. Now, the story is told of a young man during the Middle Ages who went to a monk to ask what he should do to repent of his sin of slander. Went to confession. The monk opened the little door, or no, closed the little door. All you can see is the profile. And he says the words, bless you, my son. Tell me the latest slander. No, tell me your sins. You know, it's amazing how the confessional booth is the Catholic Church's intelligence gathering mechanism. I mean, can you imagine? That's a tremendous pastor. That's a tremendous custom to have a confessional booth. You can learn all kinds of things about what's going on. But that's what it is. But this young man comes to this monk. And he says, what should I do to repent of the sin of slander? So the monk was a wise monk. This was not one of the bad monks. This was a good monk. And he instructed the young man, to put a feather on every doorstep in town. Oh, okay. So he went and put a feather on every doorstep in town. And the young man returned. The monk instructed him to go back and pick up all the feathers. Well, the young man looked at the monk and he says, he didn't say, are you crazy? That would be disrespectful. But in his mind, he said, are you crazy? But he says, that's impossible, cried the man. By now, the wind will have blown them all over town. So has your slanderous word become impossible to retrieve, replied the monk. Though you are forgiven, you can never retrieve the damage that you've done. Boy, that's a wise monk. Right? Right? The man said he was crazy. But this was a... Well, that's what happens when you're wise. You're going to be called crazy. But you know, trying to recall your words is like trying to recall a stone thrown into the river, for neither stone nor words will return regardless of your pleas or your prayers. You know what? You want to know one prayer that God will always say no to you? Oh Lord, return my words. He'll always say no. Have you ever heard him say yes and all the words came rushing back? No. God always says no to that. Now, if you lend your ear and your laughter or interest to the talebearer, you should consider that as easily as the talebearer makes naked your neighbor's secrets to you, that easily will he open up your secrets to others. Now, that's a principle, young people and old people, middle people, all you people. That's a principle. If I come and I tell you some scandalous thing that somebody else has done, I'll do the same for you about your scandalous behavior. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the character of the person. That's the character of the person. Now, Governor Perry of Texas, in one of the debates, touched on this similar subject when he said that a man who will cheat on his wife will cheat on his business partner or anybody. That's true. And that holds true with a talebearer, for the talebearer is only concerned about him or herself and not the welfare of others. You know, when we teach these proverbs, we shouldn't be saying, yeah, I know some people like that. Oh, yeah, look at Joe. Look at Sarah. Look at Jimmy. But the Bible directs us to us. You know, remember that old saying from Bob Jones Sr.? He said, no doubt the trouble's with you. We used to have a plaque over at the high school. Said, no doubt the trouble is with you. And then I had down at the bottom, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. All the kids would say, no doubt the trouble is with you, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Kids will always, they always turn things around like that. But we're to check ourselves out in this matter. Are you a gadabout spreading rumors or lies or secrets about others? Is your ear readily available to talebearers? Is it perk up? You know, does it have 100 amps receiving capability? If so, you are complicit. The crime is only committed with the mouth transmitter and the ear receiver to receive the message. As the old song says, it takes two to tango. Now, have you ever tried tangoing by yourself? Don't admit it. But it takes two to tango. It takes a mouth and it takes an ear. Now, one of the things I remember teaching my children was that what is said at home stays at home. You know, we have that kind of a rule in the lunch bunch. We go out on Wednesday and we say, what is said at lunch stays at lunch. It's kind of a code of ethics. She says, amen. She don't want to hear it. But you know, we've never done this, of course, but perhaps in a home there might have been an argument between a husband and wife. Look at the smiles on these fellows' faces. Have you ever had one? Have we ever? No. Have you ever had words with your mate? Of course you have. Everybody's had words with their mate, and the little ears perk up. Mom and Dad are arguing. Again. But you know, that ought to stay in the house. That ought to stay at home. Your children ought to be taught that stays at home. You don't take that to school. So there are things that have been spoken in confidence that should stay in the family. Uncle Ralph's on a binge again. You know? That ought to stay in the family. Poor Uncle Ralph's got a problem. The world doesn't need to know that. But you know, teachers, you have a great responsibility to be circumspect about things your students tell you that their parents would not want others to know. We've got teachers in here. You hear lots of things. You ought to be the one that stops it. Now, if there's something that there is a reason for you to act upon, perhaps there's confession of abuse, well, certainly you have to act upon that in your capacity. You have a need to know that, so therefore you act upon it. But some children are prone to tell everything, and who better to tell than the teacher? Some students are blabbermouths, and they'll tell you everything, and the parents don't want that to be so. But when you learn of matters at home that you do not need to know, you must work at keeping it to yourself, lest you too become a talebearer. Now, you're to think of the good of the child and think of the welfare of his or her family when you are told things that bear not on your responsibility as a teacher. Just a little admonition here, because teachers can become talebearers also. Have you heard the latest about the Wasowski family? You know, you don't want to do that. You know, I remember in Dr. Hobbs' early teaching of us teachers way back in the 70s, he said, as a teacher, if little Johnny was a real pest for you in fourth grade, keep it to yourself. You don't need to go to the fifth grade teacher and say, boy, you got Johnny in your class? Whoo, get ready. You're in for it. What are you doing? You're tail-bearing. You're loading the teacher down with a bad reputation of Johnny, and Johnny may have got saved that summer. Or maybe Johnny grew up a little bit. You know? You got to be careful. Now, one thing about the tail-bearer, they work at their craft. The tail-bearer has an ear to pick up juicy topics. He or she has much time on their hands, and they're like a worm attracted to the food of scandal. They're like a gold miner looking for that load of golden rumors with which to feed on and relish again and again as he passes it along to willing ears. Now, I'm speaking to the body of Christ here. Most of you are in the body of Christ. And praise the Lord for that. You praise the Lord that you're in the body of Christ. What a wonderful position to have. If you young people are not in the body of Christ, get in the body of Christ. Trust Christ. And get in, be born again into the body of Christ. You know, as a body, we're supposed to act together like our body acts together, does it not? We're to love one another. We're to care for one another. This is a special bond that we have in the body of Christ. But you know, the body of Christ is not immune to this problem. But in the body of Christ, the juicy tidbit is usually told, followed by the loving phrase, bless his heart, or bless her heart. And what is that? That's designed to calm your conscience. Oh, the mind has got some devious ways about it. You know, we throw a bit of meat at the dog to stop barking. Well, we throw that bless his heart out to stop the barking of our conscience. But nothing is new under the sun. Read about Paul's instruction to Timothy concerning some women in the early church. I'm not just picking on the women because I've got the men to follow here, so women don't get upset at me. Nowadays, everything is so politically correct. But the Bible covers everyone in this matter, for all of us are sinners. But 1 Timothy 4:18 says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now, women are not wandering about from house to house anymore because they're working. They used to wander. They used to talk over the fence. Or they'd go down to two or three. But what's happening now? Well, they're texting. They're Twittering. You know? And this is especially true today with young people. Be careful of your texting. You should call it tail-bearing in a lot of ways. You know, I saw people texting in the program on Thursday, young people with parents sitting next to them. What a shame that is for parents to be so divorced from what's going on in their presence, and they let them go into that world. But that world is so full of tail-bearing. And Paul, being even-handed, did not exclude men, for in 2 Thessalonians 10:12, he writes, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are of such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So it's interesting that Paul gives us this contrast. And he says these folks that aren't working are busybodies. They're busy. How can you be not working and busy? Well, you're busy with this. See, you're busy with this. "The tale-bearer delights in roaming the countryside with his wares, while the things that he should be engaged in, things that have value, things that have a worth, things that should be done for the Lord, go on." Now, I have to quit here, but the contrast given to us in the last part of our proverb, "For he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." So God doesn't just give us an admonition about things that are true, but he gives us an admonition about what should be done about it. He says, if you're a faithful spirit, you'll shut your mouth. You'll nip it in the bud. Remember that old saying? You nip it in the bud. What does that mean? That means to stop it before it grows. So he tells us how it should be. We are not left to bemoan the fact that there are talebearers, but we are given the admonition not to be such, but to be a faithful spirit who, instead of revealing secrets, is one who conceals the matter. Now, there are secrets that if you come upon, should be told. In other words, if you have a need, if there's a need for you to tell others in authority, not your neighbor down the road, in authority, certainly you do that. But not just to spread it around, just to spread it around. This faithful spirit is one who is wise, and that wisdom will come forth and tell when a matter is to be concealed. This is the admonition of the Word of God. All of us need this. I need this. All of us need this. If you don't have a mouth, you don't need this. Okay? And I'm looking around. Everyone has one. So you need it. Listen to the Word of God. Father, thank you so much. Lord, you're so, so good to us. We don't have to be ignorant. If we are ignorant, Father, we choose to be ignorant. All we have to do is pay attention to what you want, to what's right and what's true, what is of love and what is of hate. And Father, we don't have to be a hater. We can be a lover of those around us, our neighbors, our friends, those in the body of Christ especially. Now bless us, Father, as we go to our service this morning. Bless our pastor. May the words that he speaks, Father, be exactly what we need for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.